Today I'm talking to Izzy Trubshaw. Izzy is a member of our travel team at Radio Jackie, and you often hear her presenting the travel with Mick Brown on the Wednesday afternoon drive. Hello Izzy, we're going to talk about travel today, but not about travel in Southwest London, but a recent trip you made yourself to Nepal with a leatherhead charity called the Medi Art Foundation. Firstly, why this charity and where does the name originate from?
So actually, this charity was founded by my mum back in 2016. So that's why there's a family links there. And that's why I have, over the last few years, actually have got involved in a variety of different projects. The name Medi Art comes from my mum's love for both medicine as a doctor and art. I suppose just as a very cultured person, she's travelled the world a lot. The point of the charity is to deliver projects internationally all around the world. We only deliver projects internationally, both on the medical side of things and on the art side of things. So there are these two branches that we focus on. On the medical side of the project, we try and go to the most remote and deprived communities across the world and try and face this inequality of health services that many people just don't have or have never had around the world. And then on the art side, we try and deliver projects to protect traditions, customs, heritage of cultures that are facing mass tourism and globalization over the world. And this, I suppose, is threatening the existence of these unique cultures.
I understand this is a third of three trips to Nepal by the charity. What specific things did you do in the previous trips?
So the previous trips were very similar to this trip. Each of the trips we've travelled to one of the most remote Himalayan regions called the Narfu Valley. And here it's a medical project. So we try and deliver medical clinics to some of the villages in the region to, again, face the inequalities of the lack of health services in the area. The first time that we travelled to Nepal, I didn't travel, but the team, the Medi Art team, did travel. Was back in 2018, where we set up our first medical clinic at 3,700 metres in a monastery. And this was almost a hub health point for all the surrounding villages to use when they ever got sick or unwell. The second time we went was back in 2022, where we expanded the project to actually trekking through the region to the different villages, where we tried to deliver these medical camps in the villages themselves for those people who actually cannot possibly walk to our clinic, which is at the base in the monastery. This year's clinic took this even further. We walked over 100 kilometres of rough Himalayan terrain over 2 weeks, and we delivered five medical clinics across the mountain range, including in the highest Himalayan village called Nar, which is located at 4,300 metres. Ultimately, we were trying to treat two main diseases which are very prevalent in the area. One is an H. pylori stomach bacteria, which causes a lot of discomfort for many, many of the villages. About 90% of villages have it up in these high altitude village mountains. But what it causes is some long-term complications, including stomach cancers and stomach ulcers and potentially death. The other disease that we tested was for the chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, which again is caused by indoor fires, cooking with indoor fires, and again it causes these long-term negative consequences, including a lack of ability to function, to walk around and to complete everyday tasks, and eventually again can cause death. So we were treating primarily these two diseases, but of course we had five doctors with us, including two Nepalese doctors, four Nepali health assistants and three volunteers. And so the whole team, all of us, were not only treating these two diseases, but of course all other general medical issues as well.
So these two diseases, H. pylori, I know about, it can be treated with antibiotics. It can also be looked after by ongoing medication. The thing about the fires is something in their culture. So how do you change their culture?
So what we did was actually not only giving the villagers a pneumovax, which is a way of preventing pneumonia, which is one of the biggest, as I say, long-term consequences of potentially having COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. But we also tried to educate the people on how can they actually prevent getting this disease in the first place. For example, opening the doors. For example, covering their mouths. And all of these things, people just aren't aware that could actually have a massive impact on preventing and minimising the chances of actually getting the disease.
So let's talk about you and let's talk about the trip. What was it like? How did you get on? How did you have altitude sickness? How did you cope, Izzy?
It was very overwhelming. Of course, the physical exhaustion of walking up to high altitude villages is something that I didn't quite realise how difficult it would be before I actually arrived. We had to at one point walk over a pass at 5,400 metres, which was the highest altitude that we got to. And at that point, I was getting a bit of a headache. But overall, you do acclimatise, but it still makes it very challenging. Every other day, we were completing one of these clinics, and that itself was exhausting. We were there from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. We saw about 80 patients per clinic. They were queuing outside the door from dawn until dusk. And of course, you had to overcome the translation barrier, the cultural barrier. We did, of course, have these five Nepali health assistants plus a doctor. And this made a massive impact, of course, in being able to overcome that barrier of translating. But overall, it was a very difficult experience. But again, very, very rewarding, of course. The people were extremely grateful. The health situation in Nepal is utterly dire. In some of the urban cities lower down, like Kathmandu, the hospitals can be government-led, and they actually compare quite well to some of the hospitals in European cities. But this does not translate to the Himalayas. In the Himalayas, most of the health services are privatised, making it very difficult for the villagers who do not have much money at all to be able to afford any medical services at all. And so our charity, our clinics, really were a godsend for the people, as this was the first time perhaps in their lives that they've ever sort of received any medical care unless they've been treated by us before. And so they were beyond grateful. And this for us was very overwhelming and rewarding.
So what are the long-term goals for the charity? You've obviously provided a wonderful service to the people in the villages. But what are the long-term goals? Is it more education? Is it more trips, more medication? What are the long-term goals?
So the long-term goals in this region is definitely to keep the medical clinics going and to keep the clinic, which is located at the 3,700 metres at the monastery, to keep that going. When we were there this time, we were trying to teach the health assistants who are with us precisely how to educate the people in the villages of how to prevent getting any of these diseases that we were treating, and also to educate these health assistants on actually what to diagnose and how to diagnose it. Whilst they are health assistants and whilst they have been educated themselves, the level of education in Nepal is vastly different to in the UK. And so I think this whole trip was not only a means of treating the villagers who were in need of treatment, but also, of course, educating the health assistants so that they can return. And this can be a self-sustaining project without the need of our British team to keep coming back every year. And hopefully in the future, it will mean that the clinic can continue without our presence. Of course, we will still be funding it, but without our actual presence of being there, which means we as a charity can perhaps focus on other remote regions all over the world.
And you've led me to the final word, which is funding. How are you funded? And how can people contribute to the valuable work that you do, Izzy? How do they help you with the funding?
So we do rely a lot on private donations, but we also organise a lot of fundraising events throughout the year. Our last fundraising event was back in winter, last winter at the end of 2025, over Christmas time. My sister is a violinist, so we set up a big charity concert in London, which brought in a lot of funding and actually ended up funding our entire project. But if anyone did want to fund the project or donate to the project, you can head over to our charity website, which is at mediart.org. And there is a donation link button for anyone who wants to either read about the charity or then later donate.
And that's Mediart, spelled MediArte.org. Izzy, thank you very much. I'm going to let you rush back to your next travel bulletin. And thank you very, very much for telling us all about the foundation and all about the wonderful work that's been done in Nepal. Thank you again.
Thank you very much, Jackie.